This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Chapter 1. Wah. The sound rips through the 3 a.m. stillness of the Royal Nursery. It's a sound that never ever stops. It drills into my skull, a constant screaming reminder of my failure. I stand over the cradle, my fists clenched, my son, my heir. He won't stop. He hasn't stopped. Not since she died. My eyes snap to the portrait over the mantel. Lyra, my fated mate. Her painted eyes are full of fire. A fire that was stolen from me. Stolen by this life. This screaming red-faced pup she left behind. And I can't even comfort him. A nanny, pale and trembling, scurries forward. Your Majesty, perhaps a new herbal. Get out. The words are a low growl. But the physician... I said, get out. I slam my goblet down on the stone table. It doesn't just land, it shatters. A web of cracks explodes from the base, just like my control. Shards of crystal scatter across the floor. The nanny flinches, her eyes wide with terror. Then she's gone. Running. Good. The screaming just gets louder and louder until my wolf is pacing beneath my skin, demanding I smash something, demanding I fix this. But I can't. Because I am furious. I am furious because this tiny, helpless thing is all I have left of her. And he hates me. Moments later, my beta Varan appears at the door. He's the only one who dares. He bows his head, not in fear, but in pity. I hate his pity. Your Majesty, the preparations are complete. I run a hand over my face. The stone of my ring feels cold. Preparations? The mating auction, sir. I let out a harsh, bitter laugh. Right, the auction. A pointless parade of grasping, high-born fools. As if any of them could replace Lyra. As if I want them to. But the council insists. Because the kingdom needs a Luna. Because the pup needs a mother. What a joke. Fine, I snarl, turning back to the screaming cradle. Bring the heir. Let us get this farce over with. Chapter 2. The Grand Hall stinks. It's the smell of too sweet perfume, of desperation. I sit on the throne, my son screaming in my arms. His cries echo off the high, cold ceiling. I feel the eyes of my court, the alphas, the elders, all watching me, watching their powerful king, who can't even quiet his own son. One by one, they come forward. Lady Serafina of the Blood Moon Pack. She's beautiful, I suppose. All silver hair and a tight silk dress. She reaches for my son with long, red lacquered nails. And he screams louder. A raw, piercing shriek. She recoils, as if he'd physically struck her. Pathetic. Next, Lady Isolde of the Crag. She tries a different way. She sings a high, warbling song of her people. It's awful. My wolf flattens its ears, My son's face turns a deeper, pulsing red. Enough, I snap. She scurries away, and so it goes, for an hour. Daughter after daughter, pack after pack, each one stronger, wealthier, more politically suitable than the last. They offer him toys. They offer him songs. They offer him magic charms. He rejects them all. My contempt is a cold, hard stone in my gut. This isn't a search for a mate. This is a political necessity. And it is failing. It's failing because my son, my own blood, refuses to play along. With every wail, my authority shrinks. I can see the judgment in the eyes of the old alphas. He can't control his own heir. How can he control a kingdom? The last one, Lady Alara. No, not Alara. Emilia. She flees the dais in actual tears. The sound is just too much. My son's screaming hits a new fevered pitch. It's unbearable. My head is splitting. My rage is peaking. A white-hot fury at this public failure. That's it. It's done. I'm about to rise, to end this entire charade. But then, Chapter 3. Silence. It drops over the hall like a physical blanket, so sudden, so complete, it steals my breath. The screaming just stopped. My entire body goes rigid. My son, in my arms, he freezes. What? And then I hear it, from the shadows, from the servants' alcove by the far wall, a sound. It's not a song. Not really. It's a hum, faint, broken, and so full of sorrow it aches. A lullaby. I stare at my son. He's not crying. He's listening. His head turns, slowly, sniffing the air. He struggles against my chest, his little body twisting towards the sound. My wolf is on its feet. Who dares? Who dares succeed where alphas failed? Before I can roar, before I can demand they be seized for this interruption, my son. He opens his mouth. It's not a cry. It's a howl. A clear, sharp, ringing howl. It's the first sound he's ever made besides a scream. And I know exactly what it is. Every lichen in the room knows. It's a pup's first fated mate call. Cold. Utter. Disbelief crashes through me. No, no. He's a baby. He can't. The pup howls again. A desperate, yearning call. Straight at the shadows. And in that moment, the disbelief burns away, replaced by a white-hot, suffocating rage. The fates. They didn't just take Lyra. Now, they mock me. My son, my heir, has just fated himself. To what? My gaze follows his. My voice is deadly calm. Seize her. Scene end. Chapter 4. The court is silent. The kind of silence that roars. Two of my royal guard, warriors, both of them, march into the shadows. We hear a gasp, a small scuffle, and then they drag her out. My wolf snarls. She's nothing. She's a servant, dressed in rags that hang off her thin frame. Her hair is a mess of brown knots, and there's a smudge of dirt on her cheek. She's shaking so hard I can see it from the throne. This is what the fates send me. This is the insult they hurl at my dead mate's memory. The girl, she's just a girl, maybe 18, 19, falls to her knees. She's staring at the marble floor, terrified. She smells of dust and lye soap and fear. I look at this. Nobody. This filth from the kitchens. And I look at my son. The pup is reaching for her. His little hands are grasping at the air, his knuckles white. He's not howling anymore, but he's making a new sound, a low, frustrated whine. He wants her. My public humiliation is complete. I wanted to kill her. In that second, my wolf wanted to rip her throat out for this cosmic mockery, for existing. But then, the pup's whine threatens to turn back into that god-awful scream. He's trapped me, my own son, my own blood. He has sealed my fate and hers. I look at the girl. I look at my court, at the alphas watching me, waiting to see how their king handles this disaster. They want to see if I am weak. I will not be weak. I will be king. I will control this. Chapter 5. The silence stretches. The girl. Ilara. That's the name whispering through the court. Ilara. She's still shaking. Her head bowed. I stand from the throne. My voice doesn't boom. It cuts. It cuts through the tension like cold steel. You. She flinches. As if I'd struck her. Good. I look at her. This nothing. And I make my decree. You will not be Luna. A collective gasp from the court. The girl's head jerks up, shock and terror warring in her wide, plain eyes. You will not be my mate. I let the words hang. I let them sting. This is my will. Against the fate's mockery. You are a cure, I snarl. A tool. My son, my heir, has chosen you as his keeper. And that is all you will ever be. I walk down the steps of the dais until I am looming over her. She smells even more terrified now. You will be held in the nursery. You will not leave, not without my permission. You will not speak to anyone, not without my permission. I lean in, my voice dropping to a whisper only she can hear. You are my son's property. I see her. Her soul just break. The tiny spark of hope that was in her eyes, it just dies. A bitter, hollow satisfaction fills my chest. I did it. I punished her. I punished the fates. I've reasserted my control. I turn my back on her, a signal of utter dismissal. Guards, I command, my voice ringing with finality. Take her. As they haul her to her feet, this new, unsuitable element in my life, I ignore the whine of my son. I've brought the insult into my home, but I am still king. Chapter 6. That night, there was silence. A deep, profound, unnatural silence.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto parts.
It's that pulled me from my work. It was so quiet. It felt wrong. It was the first real quiet in this wing of the castle since Lyra. My wolf paced, the pup. Before I could move, my feet were already carrying me down the hall, drawn by the lack of sound. I stopped in the doorway of the royal nursery, and I saw her. She was in the rocking chair, Lyra's rocking chair, the one my mate had picked out from the winter market. The sight of her in it, a servant, filth. It was a white-hot spike of rage in my gut. But then, I looked at the cradle. My son, he was asleep. Not just quiet. Peacefully. Deeply. Asleep. His little chest rose and fell. His face wasn't red. It was calm. I hadn't seen him like that. Ever. A war started inside me. This profound, drowning relief from the silence. It crashed against my revulsion. It crashed against the stabbing grief. This should have been Lyra's role. This girl, this nothing, had stolen it. Ilara, I was forced to learn her name. She was humming that same broken lullaby. Her eyes were closed. She looked as exhausted as I felt. She didn't see me. Good. I stepped into the room. The smell of milk and powder and her. That scent of dust and soap, it filled the air. She must have felt my presence. Her eyes snapped open. Fear, it rolled off her. A spike of pure terror. Her humming stopped. Instantly, the pup in the cradle stirred. He whimpered. My gaze snapped to her. Don't stop. The command was a low growl. She flinched, hard. Her eyes squeezed shut, and she started humming again. Her voice trembling. The pup settled. I hated her. I hated her because she had this power. I hated her because my son chose her. You will not look at me, I said, my voice cold. You will not speak to me. unless I speak to you first. Your only job is him. She nodded, her eyes fixed on the floor. Do not think this makes you anything, I snarled, needing to reestablish the dynamic, needing to hurt her. You are a tool, nothing more. I turned, and I left. I left before the peace of that room, her peace, could infect me. But the silence, it followed me all the way back to my study. Chapter 7. Moments later, I was in my study, the one adjoining the nursery. I'd moved my work here because I needed the silence, which meant I was tethered to her. The irony was bitter. I tried to focus. Troop movements on the southern border. Alpha Cade was demanding more resources. It was impossible. My ears, they weren't focused on the reports. They were straining, listening, for the silence to break. And then, it did. Not a cry, at first. Raised voices. One voice, low, shaking, hers. The other was highborn, sharp, dripping with contempt. Disgusting. A kitchen rat, pretending to be a Luna. Does he make you perform for him, like a trained? I knew that voice. Lady Serafina, the one with the silver hair. From the auction. What was she doing here? I heard Alara whisper. Please, my lady, you'll wake the heir. The heir? Serafina laughed, a cruel, sharp sound. That thing, it chose you, it's as worthless as... A whimper. My eyes snapped shut. No. Just a little accident, a little push, and the king will be rid of you both. Then a full-blown wail. Rage. It was instant. And it was cold. The silence was broken. Before she could move, I was moving. I didn't use the door. I slammed it open, the wood cracking against the stone wall. Serafina screamed. She was standing over Alara, who was cowering, her hands over her head. The pup was screaming in his cradle. My wolf was at the surface. Get out. Serafina. She actually paled. Your Majesty, I was just visiting the heir. You are never to enter this wing again. But she is a servant. She... My voice was low, dangerous. No one, I said, taking a step toward her, disturbs the heir. She saw it in my eyes, the wolf, the king, the promise of violence. She didn't just walk, she ran. The room was silent again, except for the pup. I turned my gaze on Alara. She was still on the floor, shaking. Do your job. I saw her flinch. I saw the fresh terror in her eyes. It gave me a bitter, hollow satisfaction. And I left. Again. Chapter 8. Come morning. The cry was different. It wasn't the rage scream. It wasn't the fear wail. This was a weak, pained whine. Primal fear, cold and sharp, shot through me. My son, my heir, the only thing, left. I burst into the nursery. The pup was red, a deep, sick red. His body was trembling, fever. Marius! I roared for the royal physician. He was there in moments, an old wise wolf, a man I trusted with my life. Your Majesty, he said, his voice calm. He moved toward the cradle, his bag of herbs and instruments. Grrr! Marius froze. I stared. My son, my infant son, was growling. His lips were pulled back from his gums, his eyes fixed on the physician. He wasn't my son. In that moment, he was just wolf. Marius tried again, slowly. Easy, little alpha. Snap! The pup, my son, snapped at him. His tiny teeth just clicked in the air. Marius stepped back, his hands up. My king, I can't get close. His wolf, it won't let me. It's protecting his... His eyes darted into her. Alara. She was standing in the corner, her face pale, twisting her apron. She looked useless. Do something, I snarled at her. This is your fault. Marius spoke. Your Majesty, I think she is the only one who can. My gaze snapped to him. What? He doesn't see me as Pack, Marius whispered. Right now. She is the only Pack he trusts. I hated it. I hated everything about it, but... My son whined again, that sound of pain. Fine, I bit out. I stepped back, into the shadows of the doorway. I watched, unseen. Ilara. She moved. Slowly. She didn't go for the physician's tools. She didn't panic. Without thinking, she dipped a cloth in a bowl of cool water. She went to the cradle. The pup growled at her. And she just ignored it. I know, she whispered, her voice shaking, but soft. I know it hurts, but you have to be brave. She started to hum. That damned lullaby. And she laid the cool cloth on his forehead. The pup's growl softened. It turned into a whimper. She kept humming, and she gently wiped his arms, his chest. I watched, my heart pounding, as the angry red of his skin began to fade. I watched as his trembling began to slow. She used a simple, worthless piece of knowledge, and it worked. Within minutes, my son was asleep, a real healing sleep. In that moment, I saw her, not as a tool, not as just a sound. She had a genuine, nurturing ability. She had competence. And that disturbed me more than I could ever admit. Chapter 9. I was forced to hold the war council in my study, the one adjoining the nursery. I, the king, was forced to listen to reports of border skirmishes, of rogue wolves. While humming drifted through the closed door, it was humiliating. I sat at the head of my table. The scent of old maps and leather and my alphas, it all mingled with the faint, maddening sound of her. My alphas, they pretended not to hear it. But I saw. I saw the way their eyes flickered to the door. I saw their tight jaws. He is ruled by his nursery. The raids are getting worse, Your Majesty. Alpha Gundar said. He's an old grizzled wolf, his face a map of scars. My men say they've never seen... The humming. It got a little louder. My focus shattered. I lost his words. My gaze snapped to the door. Gundar stopped talking. The silence in the study was... heavy. To make things worse. Gundar. He looked at the door. And then he looked at me. Your Majesty, Kyle, this is unseemly. My head snapped back. Unseemly, Gundar. This situation. He waved a hand toward the door. The girl. She has distracted you. The court whispers. This obsession with a servant. It makes you look weak. My wolf snapped. It wasn't a choice. It wasn't a thought. It was instinct. A low growl ripped from my chest.
Oh, oh.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Weak? She is a tool, Kale. Nothing more. Get rid of the girl. Find another way. Without thinking, I was on my feet. My chair crashed to the floor. My son's health, I snarled, my voice a low, dangerous rumble, is my only concern. The alphas froze. I froze. The words just came out. Why? Why did I defend it? I wasn't defending her. I was defending my son, my asset, the silence, right? Gundar, he slowly, bowed his head. As you say, my king. But the damage was done. I stared at the door, this thin piece of wood separating my duty from my problem. Get out, I whispered. Majesty, get out, all of you! They scrambled. They left me alone, with the sound of my own harsh breathing, and her damned humming. Chapter 10. Later that night, I was drawn back. I was pacing my chambers, restless. My wolf, it was agitated, edgy, after my outburst at the council. But the nursery was quiet. It was a different kind of quiet. Not the 3 a.m., exhausted, broken lullaby quiet. This was a happy quiet, as if pulled by a string. I found myself walking to the nursery door. I expected to find them sleeping. Instead, I saw the pup, my son. He was on a thick fur rug. He was older now, a few months. He could crawl. And she, Alara, was on the floor with him. The moonlight. It spilled in from the tall windows, making her soft. She wasn't humming. She was playing. She had a small stuffed wolf, a toy. One of Lyra's. She was hiding it behind her back. Where did it go? Where did the wolf? My son. He was focused. His head was tilted. His eyes bright. Boo! She whispered, popping the toy out. And a sound. A gurgle. A real, happy sound. My son. He laughed. A laugh. I had never heard that sound before. Never. Not from him. My world tilted. The sound. It was like a single point of bright, warm light in the suffocating, cold darkness of my grief. It pierced me. It hurt. This joy, this laugh, it was real. She, a nobody, a tool. She wasn't just silencing him. She was giving my son joy. A joy I couldn't give him. A joy Lyra would never. In the span of a breath, my entire perception of her, it just shattered. She wasn't a tool. She was something. She must have felt me. Her head. She turned. She saw me. And just like that, everything changed. Her smile. The one that had made my son laugh. It didn't just fade. It died. Her body went rigid. Her eyes, they went wide with that old familiar terror. She flinched. She flinched away from me, and the moment, the light, it was gone, smashed. She scrambled to her feet, bowing her head. Your Majesty, I'm sorry. I couldn't speak. I just turned, and I left my mind, my soul, in total turmoil. Chapter 11, I couldn't rest. That laugh, the sound of it, and then the look on her face, the terror. I found myself standing at her door again. I didn't know why. I needed to understand why her. What was this? Was this some kind of magic? A trick? She was standing by the window, her back to me, just watching the moon. She didn't hear me this time. The song, my voice. It was rough. It sounded strange. She screamed, a small terrified gasp, and she spun around, falling into a low curtsy. My king. The song, I repeated. I had to know. The lullaby. Where did you learn it? I wasn't commanding. I was asking. I'd never asked her anything. Her voice trembled. She wouldn't look at me. Her eyes, they were fixed on my boots. I don't know, Your Majesty. A flicker of my old rage. Don't lie to me. I'm not, she whispered, and, oh, she was crying. Silent tears. They were just falling. It's the only thing I remember. Remember. From what? She took a breath, a shaky, broken breath. From my mother. My blood ran cold before she died. The moment their eyes locked, no, my eyes locked on her. A lost mother, the same theme, the same cosmic cruelty that defined my entire broken world. I had come in here looking for an answer, for a reason, and the fates, they gave me this. They gave me a connection. They They were trying to parallel this kitchen rat with my Lyra. Rage. It wasn't the cold rage from before. This was hot. It was personal. I hated it. I hated her for this link. I had to get away from her. I turned again and I left again. But Kieran, this time, it wasn't confusion. It was fury. The problem of Alara, it wasn't simple anymore. She wasn't a tool. She was a haunting. Chapter 12. I was walking. Just walking. My wolf was pacing. Restless. Angry. A lost mother. The words just echoed and echoed. A cheap, disgusting insult from the fates. I was walking away from the nursery, but my feet, they just took me in a circle, back, toward the halls. I was so annoyed, at the connection, annoyed at her. And then I heard it, a sharp hiss, a clatter of porcelain, and a gasp, a silent one, a gasp of pure pain. I rounded the corner. There, in the middle of the hall, Lady Serafina. The one from the nursery, the one I banished from the wing. And Alara. Alara was, she was holding her arm, her face white, her sleeve. It was steaming. A broken teacup was on the floor. Scalding tea was puddled on the stone. Serafina. She wasn't helping. She wasn't, sorry, she was smirking. My apologies. Serafina simpered, her voice like poison. She saw me. Your Majesty, the servant, she just got in my way. I looked at Alara. She wasn't crying. She was just shaking, biting her lips so hard, I thought it might bleed. She was hiding her pain. And I looked at Serafina, at her smirk. In that moment, my wolf, it didn't just snap, it roared. A cold, cold, rage. I didn't move. I didn't raise my voice. I just looked at Serafina. You, I said. My voice was dead. You will apologize to her. The air thickened. The smirk. It froze on Serafina's face. The guards in the hall. They stopped breathing. Your Majesty? Serafina. She laughed. A nervous laugh. She is a servant, a nobody. I took one slow step. She is under my protection. The words, they just came out. I hadn't thought them. My wolf said them. I stared at Serafina. Apologize. Her face, it crumpled. The smugness, it turned to fear. She turned to Alara. She stammered. I apologize. Get out, I whispered. Majesty, get out of my citadel, now. She ran, her expensive silk dress rustling as she fled. The hall was silent. Just like that. It was just me and her. She was still holding her arm. She was staring at me. Not terror. Not this time. It was confusion. I didn't know why I did it. I told myself it was to maintain order. It was because she defied my command, but deep down I knew the truth. I saw her terror and it didn't annoy me this time. It angered me. I couldn't look at her. Go to the position. I muttered. And I walked away, my heart pounding in my chest. Chapter 13. Poison. Varen. My beta. He placed it on my desk. It was A blanket. A small pup's blanket. Soft. Blue wool. And it stank. It stank of wolfsbane. Concentrated. Enough to kill a pup. To kill my son. A gift, Varan said. His voice. A growl. From the blood moon. Pack. For the new Luna. Serafina's pack. They didn't just insult her. They targeted my son. My fury. It wasn't hot. It was ice. A glacier. In my veins. They saw her as a root to power, or a problem to remove, which meant she was a target. My tool was now a liability. My first instinct, the king's instinct, lock her away, throw her in a cell, in the dungeons, where no one could reach her, where no one could use her against me. She was dangerous because she was weak. But then a memory, a gurgle, a laugh, my son's laugh, her on the floor in the moonlight. Joy. I couldn't put that in a cell. I needed my son to laugh again. Damn her. My plans changed. I stormed into a nursery. She was back. Her arm. It was bandaged. She saw my face and she flinched. Good. I snarled. Will not leave this room. Her face, it paled. Your majesty, did you hear me? I slammed my hand against the door. The wood groaned. You will not leave. I understand. She whispered. Tears. They welled in her eyes. She thought this was punishment. She thought I was angry at her for the tea letter. I was too proud to admit it. It was for her protection. I turned to the door. Guards. Two royal guards. They appeared. You will stand post, I commanded, inside this room. Their eyes, they widened, but they nodded. I looked back at her. She was broken. She looked imprisoned. Good, because she was, and because she was safe. I left the click of the door locking behind me. It echoed.
Chapter 14. My son was teething, a new sound, a new hell. It wasn't the rage scream. It wasn't the pain whine. It was a constant, miserable, fretful wail, and nothing stopped it except her. The moment she left his sight, he screamed, which meant I was forced to eat my evening meal in the nursery on a small, uncomfortable chair, a tray on my lap. The king of all lichens, reduced to this. It was infuriating. The two guards, They stood at attention by the door, pretending not to watch. And I watched. I had to. There was nothing else to do. I watched her. She was walking back and forth, back and forth. The pup in her arms. She was humming that damned lullaby over and over. She was thinner than before, pale, exhausted. I could see the dark smudges under her eyes from here. She was a prisoner in this room, but she was unfailingly gentle. The pup, he gnawed on his fist. He fussed. He arched his back, and she just kept walking, kept humming. She kissed his forehead. She whispered to him. I couldn't hear the words, but the tone, it was quiet. It was love. Cold thought. It hit me. Lyra, my mate. She was fire. She was passion. A warrior. She would have roared at this. She would have demanded a solution. She would have hated this weakness. This girl, Ilara. She was water. She was quiet. She endured. She absorbed the pain. She soothed. They were opposites. Night and day. And my wolf. The beast inside me that had hated her scent, that had wanted to kill her at the auction. It was silent. It wasn't snarling. It wasn't pacing. It was just watching her with my pup. I put my fork down. My food, it was cold. I was dangerously close to seeing her. Not as a tool, not as a servant, but as a person. And that terrified me more than any rogue army.
Chapter 15, a person. The thought, it terrified me. I was back in the nursery. I had to check on the pup. That was the reason. It was she was there in the corner, organizing linens. She was keeping her back to me. Good. She was learning. But then she reached up for a shelf iron, her sleeve. It pulled. I saw it. The bandage, the white linen on her arm, the burn. My king sighed. It snarled. Ignore. It is weakness. It is nothing. But my wolf, the one that was just watching. It pricked its ears. It whined, a low, soft sound in my chest. I didn't want to ask. I knew it was dangerous because kindness is a weapon. I can't control my mouth. It opened. The physician. My voice. It was low, gruff, awkward. She froze. Her whole
body just stopped. Did he tend to the burn?
As the silence stretched, she turned. Slowly. So slowly. Her eyes. They were huge. Huge. With shock. She stared at me. She wasn't just scared. She was confused. Utterly lost. I had never asked about her. Yes, your majesty. Her voice. It was barely a whisper. He did. It is healing. Good. The word. It jumped out. Why did I say that? I saw it. She flinched at my kindness. She thought it was a trick, and that angered me more than her fear. Just do your job, I muttered. I turned my back on her, on her confusion. I felt a strange, unwelcome pull, a single thread, and I hated it.
Chapter 16. The pup was fussy. Lara. She was sleeping, finally. An exhausted, dead sleep in her small servant's cot across the room. I wouldn't let her wake, because deep down, I knew she was breaking. So I picked up my son, my heir, and I walked him myself out of the nursery into the main hall. It was afternoon. The court was full, and they saw their king alone pacing with his heir, and they knew why, because the servant was sleeping. The whispers, they started at first just a hiss. He keeps her like a pet, dishonors the late Luna's memory. She has bewitched him, the kitchen rat, my wolf. It stirred. It wanted to snarl. It wanted to silence them. But then a voice. It cut through. My king. It was Lord Valerius, and an old wolf. One of Lyra's staunchest allies. He had cried at her funeral. He stood in my path. This obsession. He said, his voice thick with disgust. It is a stain on her name. He dared. He dared to speak her name. My grief. It rose up like bile. He was right. This was a dishonor. I should agree. I should banish Ilara. I should end this farce. But then I remembered the poisoned blanket. I remembered the laugh. My son in my arms. He fussed. He whined. This wasn't about Lyra. Not anymore. Lyra. I snarled the word tearing from my throat. Is gone. Valerius. He flinched. The hall went dead silent. My son. I said, pulling the pup closer. Is not. I stepped forward, forcing the old wolf to step back. I will protect him and protect that one who protects him. I said it out loud to all of them. It wasn't just an order anymore. It was a vow. I had publicly tied my honor to her. I pushed past Valerius. I left them all choking on their whispers. I had chosen, and just like that, I knew there was no turning back.
Chapter 17. The vow. It cost me that night. I couldn't sleep. My wolf was prowling, restless. Lyra, her name. It felt like ash in my mouth. I had defended another against her memory. I needed her. I needed to feel her. I went to my study, to the locked drawer. I pulled it out, her journal, the leather. It was soft, worn. It still smelled faintly of her, of roses and steel. My hands, they were shaking. I opened it, her writing, strong, bold. I turned to the last pages. When she was pregnant, my eyes, they scanned the words. The pup, he kicks like a warrior. Kale, he is worried. I laugh at him. A pain so sharp, it stabbed my chest. I remembered that day. I kept reading. I am scared. I am so scared. I hope I am good mother like mine was. I will sing him her song. Her song. The song of the hidden moon. The dove and the wolf. My blood. It stopped. It turned to ice. The dove and the wolf. I knew those words. No. Without thinking. I was moving. I flew from the study. I ran to the nursery. I didn't open the door. I listened. She was humming. The pup. Must be fussy. Her voice, it was low, clear, and this time, she wasn't just humming. She was singing, whispering the words. Sleep, sleep, my little dove. Sleep, sleep, my little wolf. Then moon, she hides for in you. It was the same song. The same damn song. Impossible. It wasn't comfort. It wasn't a connection. It was blasphemy. It was theft. How does this kitchen rat know my dead mate's sacred family lullaby? I didn't feel connection. I felt rage. A new, darker, colder rage, a violation. This wasn't a gift from the fates. This was a curse, a twisted, sick joke. I slammed my fist against the wall. Inside, the singing stopped. The pup started to cry. Good. Let him cry.
Chapter 18. The pup was crying, and I was glad. My fist, it throbbed. The stone of the hall was cold. Theft. She stole Lyra's song, a holy song, my rage, it was ice. I had to confront this thief, this liar. I didn't knock. I slammed the nursery door open. How? I roared. The word, it tore from my chest. Alara, she screamed, a real scream. She jumped back from the cradle as if I were fire. How did you know it? Your majesty, I don't. The song, I stalked toward her, the guards at the door. They tensed, but they dared not move. You stole it from her journal? Who told you? Her face, it was white, pure terror. She didn't understand. And then I smelled it wasn't her fear. It wasn't the pup. It was smoke. Thick, oily, acrid smoke. My head, it snapped up in smoke. It was curling under the study door. It was seeping from the vents. Fire in the nursery wing. No, 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 no. My rage. It vanished. It was gone, replaced by ice, by pure primal terror. The blood moon pack. The pup. I whispered. I lunged for the cradle, but then the hall door, it slashed open. A wall of smoke. Black, choking smoke. The guards, they shouted the alarm bells. They started to ring. Fire. It wasn't in the study. It was in the hall. They lit the wing to kill them both. Get him. I roared at Ilara. I ran to the window to break it to get air, and the smoke, it poured in behind me. It was everywhere. I couldn't see my eyes. They burned. Ilara, I shouted. Silence. I couldn't hear the pup. I couldn't hear her. My son. My son. He was gone.
Chapter 18. No way, my world. It ended. Gone. He was gone. Just like Lyra. Fire. It was fire. Again. Oh, I roared. A sound that wasn't human. I ran back into the smoke. It was so thick. I couldn't breathe. Ilara, I screamed her name. The name I hated. It tore my throat. I tripped over something. Something soft. Her. She was on the floor. Face down. Unconscious. Dead. My grief. It hit me like a mountain. But then I saw she wasn't near the door. She wasn't trying to escape. She was next to the linen chest, the big cedar chest. Her body, she had thrown it over the chest, shielding it. No, it couldn't be. With a snarl, I shoved her limp body off it. I
I tore the lid open inside, wrapped in wet blankets, coughing, but alive. My son, he was alive. She saved him. She saved my son. She didn't run. She didn't save herself. She saved him. I snatched my son. I held him tight. My goal, it was clear. Get him out. Get him safe. I had him. I should run, but I stopped. I looked down at her, Ilara, so still, so pale, her hair singed, her face covered in soot. Deja vu. It hit me, suffocating me. Lyra, fire, death. I was losing her too. This girl, this thief, this nobody. And my wolf, it screamed, it howled in my chest. No, not again. Cannot lose again. Mine. In that moment, I realized I cannot let her die. I grabbed my son and I hooked my other arm under her, and I carried both of them out of the fire.
Chapter 20. I sat on the steps outside the physician's room. The stone was cold. I was covered in soot. My lungs, they burned. My son, he was safe. He was checked. He was fine. And he was screaming. He was in my arms. And he was screaming. That old sound. That rage scream. The one I thought I would never hear again. But this time, it was worse, so much worse, because now I knew why he wasn't crying at me. He was crying for her. I was back at day one, but everything was broken. My pride, my rage, my loyalty to Lyra's ghost, all of it kept me blind. I saw it now. She sacrificed herself for my son, for my blood. Deep down, I knew the truth. I was the one who was worthless, not her. I did this. I locked her in that room. I made her a target. I made her a prisoner. I was so busy hating her for stealing a song that I didn't see her saving my son. A hole. It just opened in my chest. Despair, cold and empty. My son's scream. They were my punishment. Door opened. Marius, the physician, his face, it was gray, tired. I couldn't speak. I couldn't ask. He looked at me. He looked at the screaming pup. In the quiet that followed, he spoke. She is alive, my king. Relief. It hit me so hard. My world tilted. But no, always a but. She is weak. The smoke, it damaged her lungs. She is drifting. He looked at the pup. She is calling for him.
Chapter 21. She is calling for him. Marius's word. They hung in the cold air. My son. He screamed. He screamed for her. And she was dying for him. A choice. My pride. It roared. No, don't go in there. Don't show weakness. She is a servant. But then my son, he arched his back up a shriek of pure grief. His grief, not mine. Her world tilted. No, my world deep down. I knew the truth. My pride. It didn't matter. My past. It didn't matter. Only the scream mattered. I stood up on shaking legs. I looked at Marius. I didn't ask. I walked past him into the sick room. The smell. It hit me. Herbs. Bitter herbs. And in sickness. And in ash. The smell of her. She was small. So small in the big bed. As the wind shifted, I saw her face, pale like milk, her lips cracked, her arm bandaged, bright white. She was vulnerable, completely broken. And she was the strongest person I had ever met. My son's screams. They bounced off the walls slowly, so slowly. I walked to the bed. She didn't open her eyes. She was muttering, whimpering. Pup, little wolf, safe. My throat, it closed. I leaned down and I placed my son, my heir. I placed him gently in the crook of her burned arm. Silence. Instant. Total. Perfect. Silence. The screaming. It stopped. Just like that. My son. He rooted. He pressed his tiny face into her neck. And he whined a soft, happy sound between one breath and the next. Her eyes, they fluttered open. She looked at him and she smiled a real smile, pained, weak, but real. She looked past him at me. Her world tilted again. My world. I saw it. The fates, they didn't insult me. They didn't mock me. They gave me a second chance. A second chance at life, at family, at healing. And I had been too blind with grief to see it. My vulnerability. It wasn't weakness. It was terrifying. I felt gentle. Rest, I said. My voice, it was rough, broken, and for the first time, it wasn't an order. It was a
chapter 22.
I sat in my study, my real study. The charred smell, it clung to everything. She was recovering slowly because the pup, he wouldn't leave her side, and I was hunting the blood moon pack. Varan, my beta, he dropped a scorched banner on my desk. It was them, no doubt.
The guards. We caught. They confessed. My old self. Point. He rose. Up. Kill them all. Burn their lands. Salt the earth. Make them pay. My fist. It clenched. But Varan, he hesitated. But what? I growled. They didn't have the resources for this was expensive. The oil, the accelerant. Someone else funded this. Someone rich. Someone close. A new hook. An open loop. It wasn't just Serafina's jealousy. It was politics. Someone wanted Ilara dead because she controlled the air, and my old rage, it stopped because revenge. It was about my past. It was about my grief for Lyra. I looked at the charred doorway to the nursery. I thought of her smile, that weak, pained smile. This wasn't about revenge. This was about justice. This was about protection. His protection, her protection, my goal. It shifted completely. I couldn't hide her anymore. Locking her up made her a target. It made her weak. I had to do the opposite. I had to make her untouchable. I had to make her powerful. I stood up. My mind, it was clear, cold, calculated. Varan, my king, prepare the Grand Hall for a full court assembly tonight. Tonight? But why? I walked to my ancestors' chest, the one that held the old ways, and bring me the Luna's ceremonial robes. Lyra's robes, Your Majesty? I stopped. No, not Lyra's. That was her past. No, I said, my voice, strong. Bring me my mother's, my bloodline, my choice.
Chapter 23. She was stronger. I walked into the sick room. On the guards, they bowed. They left. It was quiet. She was sitting up, propped on pillows. The pup, he was asleep in her lap. His little hand fisted in her simple nightgown. Her hair, it was clean, brushed. It shone in the lamplight. She was almost beautiful. Her instincts surged. No, mine. She saw me, and she didn't flinch. Her world tilted. No, mine tilted again. She wasn't scared. Not of me. Not anymore. She was wary, but not scared, because I had brought her my son. And now I had to ask, not command. I, the king, I was nervous. My palms, they sweat. Ilara, I said, her name, it felt real. Her eyes, they met mine. Steady. I owe you a life. His life. You owe me. Nothing, Your Majesty, she whispered. He is my, she stopped. He is my king. No, that wasn't what she meant. Ilara, I said, taking a step. I failed you. I made you a
prisoner. I made you a target. My stupid pride. It almost got you killed. I admitted it, my flaw. She just watched me, her eyes so clear. They will try again, I said. The cowards who funded the attack, they want you gone because you are his mother in all the ways that matter. Her breath caught. I can't hide you anymore. I stopped in front of her. I was vulnerable. So I am asking you here. It was. The court is assembled tonight. I am going to tell them the truth. I am going to show them who tried to kill my heir. I took a breath. Will you stand with me? Her eyes, they searched mine. She wasn't looking at a king. She was looking at a man, a broken man, asking for help. Stand with you? She whispered. How? Not as my prisoner, I said, my voice thick. Not as a servant, but as his mother, as the woman who saved him. I held out my hand, not to pull, not to take, to offer. The silence roared. She looked at my hand. She looked at our sleeping son, and she let it happen, slowly, trembling. She lifted her hand, the one that wasn't burned, and she placed it in mine. For him, she nodded, a single tear. It rolled down her cheek, but she wasn't crying from fear. Her soul answered, and mine settled. Chapter 24. My hand was shaking. Or maybe it was hers. I couldn't tell. We stood outside the grand hall. The doors, they were 20 feet tall, closed. On the other side, everyone was waiting. The whole world. Alara, she was in my mother's robes, simple blue velvet, not Lyra's fiery red. It was hers. She was pale, terrified, but she was here. She held our son. He was quiet, just looking, watching her. I can't, she whispered, her voice trembling. Kyle, I'm no one. Kyle. She used my name. I stopped. I turned. I looked at her, not as a king. You are not no one, I said, my voice low, fierce. You are everything to him, and that makes you everything to me. Do not let them see you shake. I didn't know if I said it for her or for me. I squeezed her hand once. Together, I whispered. I nodded to the guards, and the doors opened. Silence. A thousand eyes. They hit us like arrows. The smell of incense and shock. I saw them, all of them. Gundar,
Valerius, all, the alphas, their faces, stone. I didn't go to the throne. I walked with her to the center of the floor. I let go of her hand, and I faced them. You all came here for an auction. I started, my voice echoing, loud, clear, because my son needed a mother, because I needed a Luna. I paused. We were interrupted. I looked at Alara. She was shaking, but she held her head high. Then my air was attacked. A gasp. It rippled through the room. They tried to burn him alive. Panic. Shouts. Varen, I roared, as if summoned. The side doors burst open. Varan, he dragged them in. Two Blood Moon guards, beaten, chained. He threw them on the floor. They confessed, I snarled, to setting the fire. Then I turned my gaze, cold, deadly. I looked right at Lord Valerius, but they weren't rich enough to do it alone. Valerius, he froze. You spoke to me of Lyra's memory. I spat. You accused me of dishonoring her. I walked toward him, step by step. But it was you, I whispered, but everyone heard. You who paid them. You who tried to kill her only son, because you wanted me broken, because you wanted my line to end.
Valerius, he drew a knife. Too late. Varan tackled him. It was over. The tension broke. I turned back to the silent court, and I confessed. He was almost right. I said, my voice breaking just once. I was a fool. I was so loyal to a memory, so blind with grief, that I spat on the gift the fates gave me. I looked at Alara, this girl, this survivor. I was blind, but my son, he knew. I walked back to her. He chose his mother. I stood next to her, shoulder to shoulder. And I shouted, my voice ringing with finality, with power. I choose my Luna. I ignored the shock. I ignored the gasps. I took her hand. I took my son, and I led them out of the hall together.
Chapter 25. Later. Much later. We weren't in the nursery. We weren't in the sick room. We were in my chambers. The royal chambers. A fire crackled. A safe, warm fire. The pup. He was asleep in his new cradle beside our bed. He was quiet. Finally, truly quiet. The screaming. It was over. The noise in my kingdom, in my head. It was ungone. Alara, she was standing by the window, still in my mother's robes. She was watching the snow fall. I stood behind her. I didn't touch her. As the silence roared, she spoke. Kale. Her voice trembled just a little. It wasn't a question. It was a test. Just
see if it was real. Her name hung in the air. No, my name. It settled something deep in my chest. Something that had been broken for so long. I'm here, I said softly. She turned. Her eyes, they were clear. Not scared, not confused. Just her. Why, she whispered. Why did you do that for me? I'm still no one. I shook my head. This was it. The final truth. I reached out slowly so she could pull away. She didn't. I touched her hand, the one that was burned. I traced the edge of the bandage. My mate died. I said the words, they cost me everything. They tore my throat. I did not survive it. Her breath caught. I was just a ghost, I whispered. A monster, hiding in rage, hating the world, hating myself, hating you, because you were alive and she was not. A tear, it slid down her cheek. I wiped it away with my thumb. Until you. I looked in her eyes. You didn't just save my son, Ilara. You saved me. She let out a little sob, and I kissed her. It wasn't fire. It wasn't passion. Not yet. It was quiet. It was acceptance. It was healing. It was a choice. My choice. Her bones remembered him. No, my soul. It finally answered hers. The lullaby. It wasn't broken anymore. We were a new family. A strange, broken, chosen family. And